Banter podcast with Paul and Jettis.
Big Thumb.
Big Thumb. He was good.
Like, Thumb Yorkie.
He was really good in that interview, but it's just like, know that you're going to completely delete the first 15 minutes of it before you start. Liam Gallagher's was the best, though. I'll save that one because it is good. Like, he just like the first question I asked him was like, he wasn't doing a piano session, and I was like going, so what, you know, like, obviously
Liam,
and I was like, you know, being an Oasis, you know, being such a John Lennon fan, ballads that you've written, like, the piano must be a powerful instrument for you. He's like going, yeah man, I love the sound of it and it's great for racking up lines on. We all started laughing and we had to restart the interview. Even he started laughing. You don't actually see him laugh that much. He normally just sort of like plays character and stays away.
I just imagine the big fucking... What's that brand? Stein? Horner. Giant piano. Tiger sitting on it. And he's like...
Fucking radio on piano like.
Probably though. You know, nice shiny surface. Who knows? I bought these glasses and it looks a lot like that video I used to do, the Best of McD thing.
Oh, those videos were great. I really enjoyed those.
Slowly morphing into it.
That was the one with like the wee sort of flap cap, wasn't it? The ear flaps.
Which, you know, there are certain times where that would be handy to wear. But then I ruined it for myself, didn't I? You know, like you wear it in the video and then it's like...
You can't, like...
You know, it's like sometimes there might be an occasion where I maybe need like a headband thing on.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Well, that's it. That's what you do too many characters, you're gonna like end up dressing like one of them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, not anymore, thank fuck. But are we going? Did we catch that Liam Gallagher story? Yeah. Incriminating.
Can I do it again and do a like more PG version, but also still saying what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just beep it all. Anyway, do lines on, you know? We all laugh. Yeah. You keep all the only bit that sends the name. Anyway, Liam Gallagher was.
No, I can tell.
Drugs.
I think I can tell. It's fine. Like.
Okay. We'll do a crap intro because I'm not good at it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Gender Bandit Podcast. This is one of our six-part series, which will be on Patreon initially.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call it the Summer Slam.
Does that mean you're going to suplex me through the table?
It can be arranged. My guest today, you see, how would you describe yourself? Is it radio presenter? Presenter in general?
Yeah, I don't know. Like just
sort of new music specialist?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I mean, the new music stuff is what I did at like Radio 1, and I do a lot of it at Sirius and stuff too, but yeah, I just chat shit about music constantly over and over again and made a living out of it. I would have been doing the exact same thing in the Grange Park in Oma, fucking chatting to pigeons, like, figured out how to get paid for it.
And our guest today, Phil Taggart, everyone.
Hello.
Let you introduce yourself and then jump in with a name. So that, yeah, like, you know, that's a good place to start. When you're talking to someone who does something professionally, you're saying you would have been doing that anyway, probably.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got into comedy because you liked making people laugh, I'd assume. Either that or you were just like going, I just want to make loads of money.
Yeah. That's the way I am now, but
no, I like playing records and like sharing records, and I was playing in bands and stuff for ages, and then, you know, that was the main thing. Like, when you're between like 14 and 24, you're like, right, I want to be in a really big band, and God, like the amount of like nearly moments that you have, like where you nearly get signed by some creepy dude in a suit from London who comes over to Dublin and gets you really drunk.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, we're gonna make you a star, and then, you know, you phone him back the next week and he's like going, sorry, who's this?
Yeah, people are dead confident when they're pissed and full of coke.
A little bit, but like when you're that age, you get really torn up by anything that goes wrong in your career, whether it's comedy, whether it's creative, like anything vaguely creative. But we had like a guy from Parlophone come over and try and sign us when we were like 18, 19. And
What was your band?
We're called Colenso Parade. So like we had a couple of like labels like chasing us around at one stage, and then we finished over due to overwhelming lack of interest. But the guy that was trying to sign us,
it sounds like a real like a diagnosis.
The overwhelming lack of interest.
Guy with a stethoscope on the foot.
And we sent him our EP, and he's like, "Yeah, send us the next bit. We're gonna give you a development deal. We're gonna come watch you play. We're gonna do this. Like, you know, we're gonna work together." He had signed like So Solitary and like Hardfi and like The Darkness and people like that. And we're like, "Oh yeah, this clearly Colenso Parade, the band from Oma, are the next in line."
Yeah,
Then we
write a note there.
We got to the very. You can listen to Hardfi. Living for the weekend. Gonna go to the cash machine.
I just remember doing something where like. Someone was organizing this thing. They're like, "Oh, we're gonna, it's like a teen nightclub thing where we let competition winners DJ."
Right. Yeah.
So they got to play back to back. They play like five songs or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, and I don't know why I was asked to go. It was just, you know, they'll watch your videos and you want to just fucking turn up and you know, you do stuff like early in your career and you're like, "What the fuck was I doing there at all?" But I remember at the time, and I was probably like 23 or 4 or something, just being freaked out by the fact that all these 16-year-olds had like five songs, and every little section, every little set had Hardfi Living for the Weekend. And I was like, this is so bizarre. Like, this would be like naff.
They're not even living for the weekend because they're working. They're just at school. Like, do you know what I mean?
Tearing their ties off and going fucking nuts. But I was blown away. I was just like, you know, like 8 out of these fucking 10 kids have...
It's powerful.
Oh, it's fucking tune, man.
Very, very powerful stuff. Was Hardfi.
I have 3 albums. Yeah. And this is my favorite song from all 3 of those albums.
Yeah. I just think that guy like wrote his whole album just like stream of consciousness. I'm going to a cash machine and then I'm going to the co-op and I'm going to buy a oven pizza.
Yeah. Just lads full of gear going like, it's like a day in the life of a regular guy.
Exactly. This is what it means. To be human.
Yeah. But you know what I was going to ask you about being signed and stuff was like, I don't know whether it's me specifically or just the way things go now. How important is that now? What does getting signed mean?
I mean, like, you can quantify it like loads of different ways. Like, I mean, if you're going to be, it depends on what sort of music you make. If you want to be a big pop star, you know, like Lil Mix or One Direction or Rihanna, then yeah, you definitely need to.
Yeah.
If you want to be a scratchy indie band, you can go and work, you can do it yourself, or you can go like an indie label. Yeah. Or, you know, as you see with like the majority of like grime artists or hip hop artists or whatever, they just make their own, they get all their numbers on social media and then they don't need to sign to a label. So they get to get a distributor, somebody who like puts it all out, and then they get a really favorable rate. So like, you see people like Skepta or Stormzy. Stormzy to a lesser level, like Skepta and like say Joey Badass and Chance the Rapper.
Skepta on the wall here, that red picture.
Big Skeppy. He broke into one of my shows once. I was live on air and he was like, "Brother, I've got something for you." And it was right around the time that the Brits were happening and Kanye was like over. And he, like, we got a phone call.
Was that a message he sent you, or did he say it that calmly and politely? Boom! Brother, I've got something for you.
But I was like, it wasn't even a nighttime show. It was like in the middle of the day where you're playing fucking Stooshy and Labyrinth or whatever. And you get a phone call from
come in
downstairs, and it's like Skepta's outside. And I'd met him a couple of times by stage, and I got on really well with him. And he just came upstairs and was going like, "I've got something for you." And then he just like came up and he says he's written 4 songs with Kanye. We just had to let him on air because he was there.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he wasn't planned. The producer was like brand new. He was like standing in for somebody. Had no idea what the fuck to do. Yeah. And I was just like, well, Skepta's, I'd say, you got to let him on. Yeah. So at the end of the interview, he tells us all this sort of stuff. And like everybody goes a bit mad for it. And he goes, "I'm going to give you my, I'm going to give you my email address." And he folds
He sounds
up.
A lot different when he's not spitting bars.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to drop the sickest 16 that Northern Ireland's ever seen. Like, but he folds it up and puts it across the table. And I can't give his email address out, right? But like his email address was basically like skepta@whatever.co.uk. And I was like, "Are you serious? You actually wrote that down?" I thought that was going to be code. I was like, you know, Tracksuit Mafia 131 or some shit. Yeah, like,
or like his management or something. Mr. Skepta.
Yeah, exactly.
AOL.co.uk.
Well, here's my number, 077777777777. I'm also pretty sure that after he won his Mercury Music Prize, I was really drunk and I was chatting to him backstage and I was like telling him about like how important what he had done as an independent artist for not just grime community, but like I was just on one. I was just fucking steaming. And I was like, it's important for everybody. Young boys picking up guitars. And I was like doing this like Coach Carter vibe. Like,
and he's got his ear down. He's listening, but he's like,
I know.
Looking around,
I'm pretty sure he was crying though. I swear to fuck. Like, and like I've told this to my producer at the time, and I was like, I think I made Skep to cry, and he's just like, bullshit. You did. You definitely didn't. Like, and still to this day, I still believe I did. But like, there is now a healthy amount of doubt in my head whether I did or not. Like,
just him fucking wiping his face. Like, oh yeah. Man, thanks so much.
So like, I mean, if you build up your own fan base, you don't need anybody, but the people to help sort of put the nuts and bolts in, like you know yourself, like do you know what I mean? What you've built.
Yeah,
with
and the problem is you get to the point where you're weird about handing over or like delegating responsibility.
Any
so
control.
Someone's like, oh yeah, we'll look after that, and you're like, how are you gonna look after? You know, you get real like fucking trust issues.
But you can't keep building something that big and continue to look after every single element of it, or otherwise it'll drive you mad.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
like. The other day, I was genuinely like, I don't know whether I was talking to you now. I can't remember. I was like, what would you pay a social media manager? Do you know what I mean? I was like, if someone just walked around with a phone and you were like, put this up, here's a link, he'll send you a video, you know.
I had one for like about 3 months and thought it was the most pointless thing in the world ever. And they charged a fucking fortune. Because like, I'm really crap with social media and I don't really play the game with it. And I was in Radio 1 with literally fucking every single one of them playing the game and them like making sure that everything was on point. And I was just like...
Presenters and stuff?
Yeah, presenters, loads of presenters. Like, and I mean, like, you know, go through the followers. Like, but anyway, see what the numbers really are. But like...
Oh, right, okay.
So...
Big in Indonesia. Big Russian following here.
But like, there was like, you know, tons of pressure on you to do this. And so I was like, all right, maybe I should do it. But I'm so lazy. Like the first 4 years of Instagram I had a picture of a skateboard up and that was it.
Fucking rad, dude.
Yeah, like 1,000 followers.
Caption, living for the weekend.
popping cake flips and breaking
just
hearts.
You know, no one got like social media back then. It was like, you know, Phil Tucker, and it was like, is skating. You know, you just fucking put in what you were doing after the...
Grinding down your ears.
Yeah. Waxing up your ears.
The skateboarding presenter.
That's my angle. Terrible background noise. Up next
we've got the news. Tail sliding into the news.
Yeah. I'm gonna kickflip right over to
Ivan with the weather.
So how the fuck do you go?
Weather's not rad.
Weather's not rad. Spoiler alert, it's not rad. Violent that was. So you were in bands and then how do you end up in that sort of presenter role? Was there like, did you get on the radio somewhere local here?
The Dole, yeah.
Dole Radio.
Dole Radio, yeah, exactly. Just playing you. I heard one of my band's songs in when I was getting the Dole once, like, and it was on, it was playlisted on Cool FM. And at that point, you know, they bolt down the chairs in the benefits office so people can't lose the BAP and throw them about. Wow. I was just like about to lose the BAP because I was so happy that I'd heard my song on the radio. Yeah. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
She's like, well, what are the 12 things that you've done over the last month to look for work? And I was like, I'm getting played on Cool FM.
Yeah. Shout out, Pete.
Big up the cash prize.
Where's your previous place of employment? You're like,
flipping PRS right now, that's 15 quid split four ways. Am I doing the double now?
Yeah.
I did media studies in Coleraine and I mean that was all right, like it was it passed the time and it was did a bit of English and it was fine. And then I remember somebody saying to me halfway through the media degree going, listen, if you want to get into the BBC, the best way to do it is just like go on the Dole for 6 months. And I was like, I'm spending about fucking 15 grand or whatever on this like degree.
Yeah.
And there was a thing called CSB Media. And lo and behold, right enough, like I was on the Dole for about 6 months playing in the band. And I went in and they were like, we're going to cut your benefits off if you don't do a steps to work scheme. You're young and you need to be doing something.
Yeah.
So they were trying to get me on the site. And I was like, they would eat me. Like, they would use me like a fucking toothpick on the side.
Yeah.
If you got anything else going, I know you have a media thing. And you had to really ask for it. Like, it was behind like a secret curtain or something. And they were like, no, I don't know what you're on about, me media thing. You're like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Frank Mitchell. Yeah. And then they're like, all right, media thing, aye. So they get you in and you do a wee 3-month course. And then I got on across the line and started really badly editing stuff for them at the start, and then they stuck me on air. I didn't even want to go on air. I was, every time I went behind a mic, I shit myself. I went red in the face, and they'd be like, "Going, I'd be doing gig listings, and I'd be like, the Diamond Rock Club in a hall. The Answer are playing in the Diamond Rock Club in a hall
again, this week as well."
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think the first time I pronounced it, I'd never seen it before. I was like, a gaggle.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of that up there. But I remember at that sort of time, the only other podcast that I was aware of that wasn't the Audio Picnic one that we were doing was the ATL one.
The ATL one, yeah. I just have to edit that every week.
Yeah. Weird. And it's like...
OG. OG podcasting.
OG, yeah. I mean, like, it's taken... you know, still about 2 years ago before people they just know what a podcast is. They're like, heard of it. What is it? Don't know what it is. You know, whatever.
Podcast is an old, old Victorian ship.
Yeah. Yeah. The time capsule. Yeah. But, but yeah, that was the only other one. And it was edited. And it's funny, like, you know, you coming right up, you're still doing Chill the Beats?
Yeah. Chill the Beats is my baby. Like, I do that flat out.
So it's funny how people used to be locked into that radio thing.
Mm.
And then they're like, oh, it's a bit too structured. And like we were talking before we hit record, you know, the fucking shite people have to talk in between songs. And it went from that structured thing and you're like, just play the fucking music or just do the talking or whatever, to very loose and free. And you're like, oh, this is great. This is just guys or girls or comedians or whatever talking shite. And now there's so much of that that now when you... Now people like structured things where it has like a theme and they're like, no, I listen to this because it's well fucking produced and it's going back to more like a well produced program.
Yeah.
But you're doing it yourself.
But no, it definitely is. Like, I mean, like Chill the Beats is like, it's kind of like open the mic and just chat shit for 4 minutes and then here's three records and then open the mic and chat shit for 4 or 5 minutes. And I don't think people understand the formula of it right now, which is mind blowing. Like, I mean, in the industry, really, because like it's essentially just radio, but without being produced.
Spotify only?
Yeah, Spotify only. Yeah, it's just me playing chill records from all across the genres and all across like the decades and stuff. And, you know, it's got a real good community of like music fans and like people who maybe are just new to it or people who are a little bit more nerdy. And it's like, I mean, there's 600 or 700 just people chatting about it every single day in this wee Discord group and stuff. And it goes up like twice a week. But I think that like the podcasts have jumped the shark now. Like, I mean, in terms of like who, what the podcasts are about and who they've got on it, it'll be like people, Richard Ayoade's flipping Journey to the Center of the Sun, where we fire.
People just like, you know, especially during the lockdown, I seen people I know just, they're just like, oh, you know, I record my podcast and then I go for brunch and then I record my other podcast. And then you're like, oh, let me do the brunch with fucking Philly. You know,
yeah.
It's like they were just, every fucking thought they had was like a new thing. Oh, you know, every night this is watching Friends with fucking whoever. And you're like, not everything has to be a podcast. That, or you just go for the stereotypical, you know, welcome back to Rape Murders with, you know, it's like
the
darkest fucking shit that you can research on the internet.
It's like,
there's just, people are doing them because they think they should be doing them. And they're doing them about absolutely fucking anything they can think of.
And you just get any broadcaster or any sort of like celebrity or whatever that has massive numbers.
Well, that's the way it's going now.
Well, no, it really is, because like there was a big streaming platform that I had something down to the very, very, very last bit, where over lockdown, me and Mickey, my mate, wrote a sketch show, and we wrote like a pilot for it, and we wrote about 50 sketches, and we got, you know, Michael Fry, who does like the... Matthew Fry, or Michael Fry, does like all of the sort of indie band stuff Twitter.
Yeah.
We got him and a girl called Kira Knight in to do them, and like we made them for about a year, and it got down to the very last minute, and we have 500,000 followers between us, And they were like going, sorry, you don't have enough followers. Like, that, like, you know, that we love the show, but you don't have enough followers. And I was like,
and you can't say the streaming.
Yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, they were like going, we love it, but you don't have enough followers. So I was like thinking, you know, if we got fucking Paris Hilton to come on and go, Paris Hilton sketch comedy or whatever.
But yeah, I mean, you are going to get like that. It, you know, it's like, you look at like Joe Rogan or something, totally guest based. You know, you wouldn't really tune in to hear him talk. All the time. It's like a big famous guy gets other big famous people on, and it just gets.
But I think
it's like the new book deal.
Yeah,
there'd be a manager somewhere going like, you know, you've time in the day here to be doing a podcast, and you could be getting sponsors and big deals all over the place. And they're like, all right.
But I think it's kind of grim because like there's people out there who've got really really good ideas who maybe like haven't got like loads of followers. So like somebody new who's starting out, they might have the best idea for a podcast. They might be the most interesting person, and it might be like the best thing you'd ever listen to, but because like it doesn't have like Danny Dyer slobbering all over it, it's never going to get made.
Yeah, and you know, there's nothing stopping you doing it by yourself either. You can still do it.
Yeah,
but it's just that sort of like
that top tier, like, you know, like, yeah, we're going to put this in every single carousel that you look at, and it's almost going to be impossible to like look past it.
You know, like, you know, I enjoy where I'm at with my podcast because it's grown, and it's not even that big, but there's enough people where they're waiting for it. They buy merch, they go to gigs, they do, and you're sort of like, what more do you really want? Do you really want it to get like to blow up to this massive audience where you're going to get people who shouldn't be listening, you know, like wouldn't normally listen to it? And then like, who the fuck is this loudmouth fucking, you know? And then you're going to get the people that you don't necessarily wanted to get to. It's just organically growing at the moment.
But it's like you've got such a big audience for it, and about 100 million Patreons as well. Do you know what I mean?
100 million this week.
100 million. Just the wee ticker tape goes off.
But it fluctuates. It goes up and down. Like, we, you know, we're doing, you have to, it's just that.
What's the worst thing that you've done with like you've said something or done something and you've lost the most amount?
Nothing. It would never get affected like that, I don't think.
I suppose that's like the people who listen to the show know that you're going to say some shit anyway.
The worst thing I could do is, you know, neglect it. You know, like,
just not put anything up.
Not put anything up, which I only ever do if I'm like, if I physically can't do it.
Aye.
You know, there's, especially like this week with comedy, the live stuff coming back, you're like, I can't, unless I'm sitting here at 4 a.m, I'm not going to be able to do it. Like, so.
just like dry and out for content. Did anybody see outside?
Oh, well, there's that too. There's outside, that too. Like,
That's why I think like I would struggle to do a podcast like weekly about just general shit.
But that's
because like, I don't know if I have the chat for an hour about just anything.
Just by chance, that's the shitty niche that's been carved out there, because General Bander is the worst name of all time, but it was a nickname for a section that we had in an old Audio Picnic.
Mm-hmm.
It was the just General Bander, what have you been up to? And we took that, and it's fucking crap. It's a crap name, but you know,
it does what it says on the tin.
But like, because I've been doing that for about 10 years, like just talking shit about anything, and I started that to get material for the comedy stage.
Yeah,
it can sort of regenerate over and over and over and uh-huh. over again. I feel like if it was specifically themed, I would definitely just run out of ideas after many weeks.
It's like today's theme is synchronized swimming.
Yeah, yeah, we're covering everything. Do you remember back in the golf episode? But I think that's, you know, there's weeks where like I fucking have 9 coffees and just go off on one about some bullshit, and then apologize at the end of it, and someone's like, "Nah, that's what we're here for, man. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, that's
lost your fucking mind over like.
But that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Like, I like those moments where you kind of go into a weird state of flow and you just don't really know what you've said, and you come out the other end of it going, "Am I sacked or was that the best show I've ever done?"
Well, that's, I mean, that, you know, the cancel culture thing is talked about a lot between comedians, and you're like, I feel like the people who really go under with the cancel culture are the ones who try and portray this like I'm fucking
holier than thou.
Yeah, I'm a saint over here.
Yeah,
if they know you're a piece of shit and there's any number of opportunities to fucking just take something out of context and try and ruin you, you're like, I was joking the other week, I was like, I wish someone would cancel me just to get a fucking week off. Sorry, I'm cancelled this week, guys.
Those comedians that seem to get cancelled, they all just tend to come back a year later anyway, like Louis C.K. and
well, that's it. I mean, the Louis C.K. thing's a weird one, because I mean, it's awful to say, but I'm like, it's not that he got caught in that wave of the Cosbys and the whatever. and all these other cunts, but you're like, comedians are fuck, like, they're nuts. Like, I've seen numerous fucking comedians' dicks. I've seen them fucking do stupid stuff. I've seen, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're, you know, most of them are wild bastards. Like,
they're so, people who are wired to try and make you laugh, whether you want to or not.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. And or just react.
That doesn't really shut off when the mic's like down. Do you know what I mean?
Nor should it. You know, that's, yeah, they're the good ones. But yeah, you're taking the behavior of a normal person and sort of being like, that's not acceptable. And you're like, but when you're in a fucking circus of mad bastards, that's not even that weird. You know what I mean?
Is your like comedian group, like, because like you see it, like, you know, Shane and Mickey and Aaron and all the rest of the guys, like, is it as wild as it once was, or is it like, has everybody chilled a bit?
No, you still got the,
everybody's having babies and stuff.
Exactly,
now.
You still have the fucking, you know, the real road warriors like Mickey trying to
Mickey Marlin
pull everyone down. You know, even yesterday, was it yesterday? The day before, we're going for, like, Aaron McCann's leaving for London. He's like, well, we're going for McCann's leaving, dude. And even McCann was like, are we? You know, he was just like, listen, we're drinking at 3
I've been on it for 3 days just so prep. I don't pull a muscle. Do you know what I mean?
And sure enough, oh, his muscle is flexed. His is working. Like,
did Aaron get a picture? Because the thing is, if you leave Oma, right, you get a picture in the Tyrone Herald, not the Ulster Herald. The Tyrone Herald's like the wee sort of Monday version. It's not as big as the Thursday version. And it'll be him in, like, Annie's bar or whatever, like, lying over it. Like, you know, it'll be a guy lying over a load of other guys, like, like making that sort of joke. Going, yeah. Look at me. I shouldn't be lying across you.
I'm wild.
And then they go to Australia, and then they come back about a year later with liver spots and no hair and burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, and they,
well, gambling, I mean, addiction.
Yeah, whenever he went to LA the first time, I was like, you're going to be the Yank. You're going to be like the guy that they call the Yank because he was in America for like a couple of months, and you're just propping up the bar. Like,
there he is himself, Steve Martin.
Steve.
How's the old comedy going for you? Ain't making anybody laugh? I don't know why that's an Oma accent. Like, fucking hell, that's when I'm from there. But
just talk normally.
I know, just talk normally. That's it.
Did you ever have to soften that when you're like...
Not really,
in the,
no,
big smoke?
I got, like, everybody in Northern Ireland told me when I was going over to slow down. I was a little bit more wild when I was like 24 going over there. And I was very shouty and just very fucking in your face, like, and probably really annoying as well. Like, but
so hard.
Yeah, but I mean, no, I don't think so. Like, my accent's pretty neutral. If you were like playing Sims and you were like, there's a Northern Ireland version of the Sims, I feel like I would be in like the one or two or three accent. It would be like,
I'm nodding my head like, coming, I've ever played Sims.
Coming up, you never played Sims.
Never
built a wall around. Like, invite your neighbor's girlfriend over and start having an affair with her, then build a wall around her and then put a bookcase and a fire in it and watch her burn to bits.
I didn't.
Oh, what? You haven't lived, man.
So that you can murder in Sims?
You could in the early ones. You could put them you could put them into the pool, invite them over for a pool party, invite four people around for a pool party, and then take the stairs out and just watch them all drown. And then the wee gravestones would come up and they're... their family would come over and weep, and then you would try and do the same to them. It was great. It was like a serial killer's dream.
I tapped out at like Mario Kart. It's like, I keep fucking crashing. Fuck this.
No, the Sims.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you could go fucking dark like that.
No, the early Sims, but you'd be playing it on, like, you know, the house computer, which was in the living room. And it would take
next to the TV.
next to the TV. What are you looking at? The mum can see on the reflection of the TV what you're looking at on the thing. What are you looking at? Wrestling.
Just watching these bitches drying here. Look away.
It's just a picture of Sable.
Jet from the Gladiators. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Where is she now?
Yeah. Let's find out. No. So fucking, so you didn't have to soften it. I mean, like, Armacan, for example, we went to visit him in LA, and he did not, he fucking turned it up, you know, asking for pints of harp.
Oh, no, like, I remember seeing the videos, like, he was, like, doing, like, the sort of culty speak to them. But I remember, I bumped into him a few times in Oma, and he was like, tell me, he was living in a pod with about 100 different people or something like that.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other fucking stuff. Yeah,
I really like Aaron though. I think he'd do really well in London.
He will, yeah. And he told a story yesterday or the day before on this podcast about being taken under the wing of Ahmed Jalili.
What? Really?
Yeah, just take a shine to him.
And what does being taken under the wing mean?
Like he's just giving him advice
and stuff like that?
Yeah, like sort of setting him up in clubs and...
Wow.
You know, like he...
Yeah.
What was the club? For fuck's sake. What do you call that place? Forget.
He's a digital nomad, is Aaron. Like, you know, he'll find his friends online and stuff and be able to build... Yeah, he's a networker.
He's just a big Labrador that just walks in wagging his tail and everyone's like,
everybody loves him.
He's cute. No, he can stay. Don't take him on a comedy tour with you. Useless. funny on stage all the rest of the time. Deadwood. But I just remember the time we were in Manchester going to Liverpool or something. And I was like, can you... I bought the tickets and forgot to ask what platform it was. And I was like, look up and see what platform, where we're leaving from here.
My next door.
Right? No, he goes, oh man, my battery's dead. And I went, no, physically look up here and see. And also, we just left the hotel. Why the fuck is your phone dead?
Yeah.
Sort your life out. If you left him, I don't know how you survived.
How old's Aaron?
Like 26 or something?
How old are you? Like I'm
34.
I'm 34, right? So I think there's the difference in those 8 years.
Oh, for sure.
On like how you use technology and how, like, do you know what I mean? It feels like quite a not a big gap because like we obviously like know how to use stuff, but like I think with 26 under, it's like it's almost like a part of your hand. Whereas I can remember times without it, like,
but not for him. Not for, he seems easy going enough. It's like, man, there's no credit on it and SIM card's out, so why bother charging? Anyway, he's taking up too much air time. Right here.
Miss you, boo-boo.
What have you... So at the minute, you've got the Chill Debates and then this Serious thing. How recent is that?
Serious thing came about in January. I left Radio 1 after 10 years in December.
Did they have some big sort of, what do you call it, like diversity sweep through the building?
What, like
BBC?
Get rid of me. I finished after like 10 years because I was just like, you know, like this.
10 years in BBC.
Radio 1, I started like 10 years. I was broadcasting for 9 years. And then like a year before that, I was like working as like just editing and stuff like that. So I'd worked for a company for like 10 years. And it was great. Like I had like a really good time, but like, you know, all good things and all. So when I finished there, I was like, right, well, what the fuck do I do now? Do you know what I mean? There's almost this like idea when you've finished in your first job, really, which that essentially was the first job. You're like going, I don't think I'm qualified to do anything.
Anything at all.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. I'm going to be in the, like, I had no idea what job I was going to be doing. But I was like, kind of hope I'm going to do radio. And then Sirius phoned me pretty much straight away. They're like, do you want a job broadcasting at North America 5 days a week? And I was getting really pissed off at Radio 1 because I was only doing one show a week and I wanted to do loads more.
Yeah.
And the show I was doing really well. So now that I'm doing 5, I'm pretty happy. I'm actually content. I don't even know what this feeling is. I'm almost like paranoid about being content. I'm like going, when the fuck does this stop?
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? And it's just done remotely?
I have the exact same setup as you do with your audio and I do it and... send it out and you get like the American audience are so much of a laugh, like in comparison to over here. Like over here you'd be like, does anybody want a shout out? And it'll be like, Jess and Kidderminster's getting her GCSEs tomorrow and she wants you to play Frank Ocean
again.
Jess and Kidderminster's dad wants you to play Hard Fight. Says loves her very much, but he's definitely living for the weekend.
I'm right about that. That's the name of the podcast.
But your shout outs are all like they're one sentence and then that's it. And even coming back to Radio Ulster now and doing my show here, that's really funny. Like Big Marty the trucker says, keep her lit, play Tiesto. And you're like going, Jesus, you're not in Kansas anymore. Like,
yeah. And why, what are the American ones?
The like? American like... ones will send you like 5,000 word appraisals on your show.
Oh, really? I thought it was the opposite. They'd just
Trump
be like, 2020, play.
They'd be like,
King's hey, Leon.
Hello, my Irish brother. Top of the morning to you. And like,
Sirius is like, what is that? That's like a subscription.
It's a subscription satellite radio show, a radio channel that goes across North America, Canada, and the US. And it's like 34.5 million subscribers, or whatever. Howard Stern's on it.
Jeez, yeah.
Like, that's the big one. So, like, yeah, like I'm just like looking at once now. And they're like, yeah, I was like, me and my husband went to Blennerhassett Castle back in like 1976. We went with the O'Donnells, and the O'Donnells are from Donegal. And it just keeps going on like this.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, she'd be like, could you play with or without you? I actually really enjoy it. Like, I get a real kick. Like, I obviously can't read them all out on air, but like, I get a kick from reading them because they're all
that, that
they're
sounds
also
like
nice.
It could be its own podcast on the side.
Just reading American texts.
Yeah.
Because they go in like they're like, I wish that I kind of was American in a way, because they're growing up told that every single person in the country can be the president, right? You can be president when you grow up one day. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, you know, in Northern Ireland, you think you can be somebody? Oh, do
it's
you?
It's
the exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite. And then they clash together well because they're both fully like cliched people. You know, it's like. Yeah. I watched the video the other week, and it was asking for directions in Ireland or something. And it was an American, you know, like one of these Americans, like, where the fucking O'Donnell's or whatever? Burns, that was it. Yeah. The guy was like, I'm a Burn. And he's like, we're here in fucking asshole, but like wherever they were. And they were asking this fella, he's about 70, coming out of the shop. And like, we're looking for the Burns residence. And he goes, oh, well, I'm a Burn as well. And, you know, this whole thing started. And he was basically going, it's just down the road. But it took like fucking 20 minutes of this guy going, oh my God, that's where they live beside the O'Flaherty's. And this guy's like, can you come to a chicken? And if you don't see the chicken, you go around the chicken and up the fence. And just these two fucking weirdos were, I was like, this is a fucking nightmare. Like,
there was a video that went up last week on TikTok, and it sums Northern Ireland up better than anything. Do you know the one I'm on about?
The guy in the street.
The guy in the street.
Have you seen that now? The guy's in the street.
And there's a dub guy who's up.
Yeah, he's up partying or whatever. It looks like it's about 4 a.m. And he's running around and he goes, oh, and he turns the camera around to this guy. And this guy just walks up and he goes, being alive is a fucking nightmare. And then he walks away.
And he's like, he's a young dub guy as well. He's like full of the night. He's like going, oh, where are my friends? Oh, where the fuck am I? Being alive is a fucking nightmare.
And the dude has the most wonderful, like, vinyl black hair.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking greased up. He's like, tiny guy. Being alive is a fucking nightmare.
He looks like a little paramilitary Lego man. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so funny. But we've talked about that with a few people. Like, that shitty mentality that you get over here, where it's just like, like, I'm sure you had it a bunch.
I got a lot of shit when
there's our radio waves over there. Look,
I got a lot of that. Like at the start, and it would be the best one I had was I was sitting in my local McCann's in Oman. I was just having a few pints with my mates. Like, and McCann's is the sort of place that they used to make me take out my earring when I was going in. And one of those ones
for your own good.
You'd be like, "Going, can I have a G&T?" Like, we don't do cocktails here.
Yeah.
You have a pint there, you have a whiskey. I was sitting down and this guy just lands into the door. And I'm only about a year or two in. And he just turns to me and he just looks at me and he's like going, there he is, two-stripe Grimmy. I know, I pissed me. I was like, that's really funny. Like, I mean, I can't even be angry at that. Like,
yeah, like it's weird that he's trying to dismiss it, but then, you know, that's a fairly niche reference for a guy in Oma.
Like. Yeah, well, I think he was like, he wasn't a culty, like he's a townie.
Oh.
It's different, you know. I got loads of it. Like people give me shit, but like after a while, it turned from shit to people being really nice.
Yeah, it is bizarre. Like, you know, especially anything that's just not a regular job or not a manual job, even people are like, you were gifted it or something.
Exactly. See, if you imagine somebody from Oma like invented the vaccine, ain't you fucking better than me just because you invented the COVID vaccine, did you?
I'm fucking Walter White over here doing science in his fucking shed. Why is it?
You don't have any, do you? That's the best one. You would hear like culties like growing up and they would like shout it because like I didn't do anything growing up, but I would like skateboard and I'd have long hair and they'd be like, oh, there you are, you stoner. And I'd be like, well, not really.
Yeah, everyone's a goth because you're wearing like, you know, Vans.
And then they think, then those culties, like about 10 years later, and they would come up to you in a bar steaming going, and I'm like, I don't do anything. They would like, come up to you and go, here, have you got any of that old wacky back? You know, so I didn't fucking smoke that in the first place. And they're like going, how times have changed.
Unbelievable.
You're bored up in your wee hut.
I would get that, but just, you know, because I'll dress and look like a drug dealer, which has happened many times where like people will just be like, have you any fucking gear on you? Whatever. Like, no, no, just because I look like a fucking Polish transvestite. No, no, I don't. Or I don't stand next to a door because I'll just be holding the door open for people like a bouncer for the next 45 minutes.
AD. I could, yeah, you could see that.
It happens a lot. Like if I'm leaving a bar or something, I'm like, I go ahead there. And then I'm like, I just get the voice. So I'm going ahead there. That's it. And just, you know, keep
pressing your finger to your ear just to make it like look like and going.
Let me stop here.
Hold on.
I go ahead.
I'm going to have to run over to Limelight One here. There's a bit of a.
For two fags.
There's a bit of an issue. Somebody's drinking my Peroni.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So you're back in Belfast now?
Back in Belfast, yeah. But, been away for like 10 years, was in London, and then I was in Brighton for a bit, and I was getting really homesick maybe about 2-3 years ago, and I was coming home a lot more often, and then...
Do people give you the, what? Oh, here he is, back.
Oh,
now.
He is back, prodigal son.
Not go well for you, no?
Exactly. Tail between your legs, what are you up to now? Just meth. And just no, but like, no, just saying meth. I've really enjoyed. I'm really enjoying being back.
Like, where do you live now?
I'm just living in Armour Road in Belfast. Like I was sort of trying to figure out where would be good, but I mean, I've put on about a stone since I've moved to Armour Road. There's so much nice food places. There's four ice cream places.
Gelato.
There's Gelato. There's Mods. There's the Mullins in the shop, and there's another one somewhere.
Well, that's.
I got my vaccine yesterday and treated myself like a child and went and got like three scoops of Mullins ice cream and sat in the sofa like going, I'm such a good boy. I'm such a good boy.
I don't need a vaccine for that sort of treat.
It's different coming back at this age because like you've got like a car and a dog and you can go and do things. Like when you're in your early 20s in Belfast, you're doing nothing and you've got no money as well. So yeah. Like you're going from the house to Lavery's or Auntie Annie's,
yeah,
drinking a bottle of Buckfast or rolling it under the back door at Auntie Annie's, which is always a good technique.
Yeah,
you go in, get your free flyer, get into Auntie Annie's free. Your mate rolls through the bottles of Buckfast, and you go up and hide them somewhere at the back of Auntie Annie's.
What a shift! What a shift!
Oh yeah, so if you're going to go out 5 nights a week, you need to figure out how to afford it on the dole. Like you know,
there's a girl I used to work with, and she, I'm drawing a picture for you here. You know, like a bottle of Malibu.
Yes.
It's kind of that shape. Just put this bit up the crack of her quite sizable ass and just waddle into somewhere and we'd just fucking take it out and pop the lid off and be like, look, 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 look. Ass and coconut. My dream. But you're so right. It's like, I went to uni in Derry, very last minute, wasn't planned. It was just like, you know when you got that dread when you're like that age, you're like, I gotta do something. Mm. There's no way I can fucking wait a year and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And just ended up there. And not in my head, I'm like, Derry, shit, man. But I was there with no money and fucking couldn't do anything.
You go back to Derry now, you love it.
Yeah, I had a brunch and a fucking whatever and had a dinner beside the river and, you know, the beautiful river. With
just hanging out in Alton and Galvin all day.
Yeah, love it. But yeah, you're so right. And like, even, I've talked about Aaron a lot, but he was like, oh, that Lisburn Road's fairly good gentrified. And I was like, no, it was the original.
It was
always fancy. Like
I moved my way up it. Like, but like I started off in like Melrose Street, and by the very end of it, I was like living down like by the Greens. Is it the Greens Pizza or whatever down around the bottom? I was living around that bit, and you would go down it, and the cars were nicer, and then the houses were nicer, and you were just like going, "I'm still skinned. This is shit."
Yeah,
I go into the Marks and Spencers and buy one like ready meal, and that's me fucked for the week.
Yeah. Cut it up in the lines.
Yeah. You're just like, well, if I have the rice on Monday and Tuesday, then I'll deserve the meat on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
Boojum is the new version of that. You know, people will be like, that'll do me.
That's there
five,
was a really,
five meals in that.
There was a burrito place down there as well that had sort of, it was pre-Boojum down there.
Chalco's?
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't as good.
I don't know. If it was Chalco's.
I don't think it was Chalco's. No, it wasn't. It was an independent one. I can't
Chalco's
remember.
Chalco's not independent? No.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't think it is that one, though.
I love the way we just stopped dead in the conversation when it came to Mexican food. No. Well,
La Taqueria, though, that place in Norma Road. You've been there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there's two of them. I think there's one in town as well.
Is there?
I've been to something called
La Taqueria. I'll have to go to that one as well, then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's fucking loads of stuff popping up now. Like, And I, like, if I put up questions,
they're selling bao buns in Oman.
Yeah, yeah,
they are. The last place I got a bao bun was fucking Times Square.
They're selling them. They're selling them like empty ones in Marks and Spencers now. You know, and like you can grab that and then you can cook your own filling or whatever.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like what like nationality is bao bun?
Korean or something?
Yeah. Do you reckon they're eating fucking Irish stew in Korea?
Probably. Probably.
I would pay for it. Like,
just
if
dying for a fucking, you know, like bit of black pudding or something. Real shitty. Some fella has too many sakis and just wakes up. He's like, I tell you what I need soda for.
I'm absolutely busting for some ballon of slow relish. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's fucking, that's more expensive than petrol.
I know,
shit.
I bought some in the...
What is a Bali...
Ballon de Malo. I don't know.
Millen and Malo. Bali Malo. Oh yeah, they're like they're looking £3 off you for like the fucking.
I know. I bought some of it yesterday at the butcher's in Armour Road. Never gonna use it. Don't know even what to fucking put it on.
The relish.
Aye.
Eggs, man.
Eggs.
I mean, if I in our house, like if I made something, I was like, there you go, Maureen, and set it down in front of her. And
where's the wet?
She went in the fridge, and there was nothing there. She would just throw the fucking whole thing in the bin, I think.
But see, that's not the food group. The food group is beige and wet. You have the beige dry and wet. So like you've got your like chips and your rice and your spuds and your bread and stuff. And you need something wet to stick on it. That's the food. That's my food group. Look,
like beans.
Thank you for listening to my TED talk.
Yeah, that's the most fucking Rain Man description of your dinner.
Wet.
There's no wet. I have no wet.
This is dry. Where's my wet? Could you stick a wee bit of wet on this for me, please? What do you expect this is? The continuity here.
What
is
do you mean wet?
Of...
Like a beans sauce, or like a sauce? Like a saucy thing?
Yeah, like a little bit of wet.
We'll cut this out if we have to. That's some serious OCD shit there. What if something is just inherently dry? What if you're eating like a fucking...
You better be up for wetting it yourself. But
what's quite dry but tastes like a pizza's not that so, you know,
elements of. I've gone too deep into this. Yeah. I really
it's got a layer.
It's not really something I believe in at all. I'm just like I'm just following it down the rabbit hole here. But I want to stand behind it like it is an actual thing.
Just give me
welcome to Phil Taggart's Wet and Dry like Podcast.
Could you eat a chicken fried rice, which might just be. A whole pile of dry.
I put a load of sriracha wet on it there and you're sorted.
Thank God you don't work in a deli. Can I get a sausage bacon bap? Yeah. Do you want red wet or brown wet?
That's it,
white wet?
That's what they say.
Must be Dutch.
You must know from being in Derry, right? Like the red ding and brown dong. Like red sauce and brown sauce.
Where the fuck would they say that?
I'm pretty sure they said red ding is like it's a Derry thing, isn't it? Or is it a Liverpool thing?
Red ding. I've never
gives a wee bit of red ding on that.
I think that might just be one mate you had. He's a fucking scumbag. I remember I hadn't seen a sausage sausage bowl.
Was it brown bong?
Sausage roll bap till I was in Derry and I was like, what the fuck?
Sausage roll bap is.
What the fuck is this guy doing?
Will change your life because you'll die after you eat it.
Yeah. Actually, I remember my mate Niall who was holding this sausage roll like a fucking cock or a microphone. And I was like, that's too tight to be holding. You know, this is how you know it's flaky. You're like, I'm eating that. He's like,
and just straight in. You can buy buttered baps in Derry as well. I remember doing like a work experience when I was like 19, and it was on a short film for RTE, and like I was just going up to the shop, and they were like, there was just baps there, and they were buttered, and I was like, going, what do you put in this? And they were just like, that buttered bap. Do you want a buttered bap? 15p or whatever.
What a strange
place. I was up the Bogside. And
we get anything. You get single cigarettes in the box. I'd like
put a couple of single cigarettes in the butter bap. Better red wet. Better red ding.
Hey, red ding. Two fags. Hey, butter bap. See you later.
I have to streamline my life. I'm a very busy man. I get me beans and me sausage rolls.
That's like something you would say.
It's actually making me feel sick thinking about it. Like, really?
I know. It's gonna spew. Derry is such a strange place. Like, I know a guy wanting like a load of money on one of those like accumulator things.
Aye.
Like a football thing.
Uh-huh.
Betting, I believe it's called. And
intriguing.
Won a load of money and basically just did his regular life times five, like harder and faster of playing pool all day and smoking and drinking. He did that more intensely until the money just fucked him, like that's get you out of Derry money.
Well, I
but
mean,
but he wanted to stay there and just do it harder.
Fair play. I mean, he lived his best life for a wee while, and probably
he just turned all the dials up.
Turned it up to the, what was the guy who won it and bought a load of stock cars, and like he won millions and millions and millions. Like he has all of the, oh, he's really famous. He's got like all of the bling.
Won the lottery or
he
won, something?
Yeah, he won the lottery. And, like,
oh,
he,
yeah,
he
Michael bought, something?
Yeah, and he got like stock cars, and he just like would just, he was just an absolute menace with the cash.
Oh, yeah.
They should definitely, like, oh, if you've won it, like, give you some sort of personality test to go, like, you know, is this good for you? Because, like, a lot of people who win the lottery and win money like that, it completely ruins them. They all go end up going bankrupt because they have no idea how to, like, do
that's
taxes
why
and stuff.
Sports stars have, like, money mentors now. You know, like some young lad gets fucking millions aye. Playing football.
You feel a wee bit for like those like footballers in the 90s that are on like doing like the, you know, the commentary and stuff on a really niche radio station or whatever. You're like, yeah. When, if you had been doing this now, you'd be getting 200 grand a week. But back then you were getting like 3.5, which, I mean, still probably a lot of money, but.
Yeah, it's not like.
They must be. I think that's why you've got like Sounises and stuff like who just hate Pogba because he's literally earning. What Sounes does in a year and a week.
It's gross money. Like,
what do you even do? And the thing is, they can't do anything with it because, like, they need to be athletes and they need to be training all the time. So, like, actually, the majority of them are really good at computer games and they're really good at watching Netflix.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's, like, a lot of fucking rest time you have to take. I've had, you know, like, I had messages from Jacob Stockdale. He plays for Ulster in Ireland. Rugby player, and he's like, oh, I'm on the Patreon, and you're like, what? But then you're like, oh, he's probably like 25 and plays rugby, and then the rest of the time is just chilling.
I'm on the Patreon too, actually.
Oh shit.
Yeah,
you see, I'm so rude to people now because it is at the point where there was certainly a time where you'd be like, oh, got a notification, oh, got a
no, I just enjoyed it, so I was like, I'll give a wee bit back.
Well,
I'm giving you $100 away.
$100, you didn't even notice.
$100
$100 away,
seriously. See them goodies that you got for adding? I paid for them, so I did.
Man's fucking dripped out with these trainers.
I know, I'm fleeced.
Fleeced.
I just love it.
I know.
I've got my whole family outside. They know how much this means to me.
I'd be absolutely balling out of control if I didn't have, you know, an office full of shite and a producer.
Which one do you get rid of first, eh?
The gear. Niall's still there with two iPhones. It's not even my gear. So, this is what I was going to ask you. You were saying, like, oh, you were talking about Belfast being, like, weird. And now that you're back, you're like, oh, there seems to be all these...
It's great, yeah, I'm enjoying
live
it.
...events and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And musicians only got the sort of go-ahead there, didn't they, to play publicly?
Yeah, I'm going to Stendhal, actually, on Saturday.
Fucking, what timing for them?
I know, like it couldn't have worked out any better. I mean, it could have worked out much better. There may well not have been COVID in the first place, but like massive respect to those guys. They've done everything they could to keep it going, and they've got two festivals happening. Over, I don't work for them, by the way. I just, like, you know, big respect to them. Like.
I did the first ever Stendhal, and they never had me back. So.
That's the thing with a comedian, though. Like, you can go and get booked for somewhere and then slate it for half an hour, and then they're like, no.
No, it was just, I don't know. I don't know. They've had comedy every year. They've got a good lineup this year. I did the first one, and it was very family friendly, but there was literally a woman breastfeeding a baby on the first fucking bench of or row of people. And I was like, at that point, I was like, oh yeah, this whole set is just total filth.
I think doing comedy, like, it's not really set out for music festivals, is it?
Not at all.
It kind of needs to be a comedy festival, really.
I had one good experience, which was Glasgowbury.
I might have seen you at that. I went to all of them.
And I thought it was going to be terrible, so I drank from like fucking 11 in the morning. And... sure enough, it turned out great, but I don't really remember much of it.
Was that the last year, the therapy year?
Yeah, therapy. Were playing. And then did someone step in for someone in therapy? Because there was like someone from like fucking Lafaro or something.
Yeah, or something. Herb plays with therapy anyway, I think, from Lafaro, or from Arvo Party even. I did a DJ set that year, and it was like old Blues Brothers stuff, and it was the most crack. I was just playing power ballads. like I Want to Know What Love Is and stuff like that. Just not even trying to be cool, like just playing these ridiculous Toto and all that sort of crap. And it was brilliant. It was so much fun.
It's such a weird, what a treacherous fucking landscape for, because it was like, it's obviously up a fucking mountain. So it's like sunny and you're having a great time. And then the sun goes down and then you're like, I better not sit down for longer
than Soviet Russia.
Yeah. You'll fall over and die and they kick you off, man. Yeah, it's like, yeah, if you were fucking steaming and fucking fell over somewhere, you would just get pneumonia.
Over the end of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going for a piss.
I don't think I couldn't run a festival just simply due to the fact that if somebody hurt themselves at it, I would feel too bad about it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Glasgow was treacherous terrain. Like how they got like health and safety for that was ridiculous. But like they did, it was such a good festival. Like it was the best.
It was
like,
class. And I just, I mean, it's one of them things you're like talking about growing up, you know, the idea of like there was like four of us slept in Mickey Bartlett's car. Slept in the car.
Imagine the smell.
I fucking don't need to imagine.
You could bottle that and sell it to some pervert on the internet for a lot of money.
I just remember I was in the back and I just remember telling, who was it? Fucking Rory Ward. I was like, you gotta open that window. And he cracked the window and I put my foot up and stretched it out because it was so cramped in the back. I was like, ah.
Amazing.
Just out the window.
You ever stretch your leg out? Do you mean you haven't done it in a while? Do you ever just stretch? I have, actually. It's really enjoyable.
Worst bit of stand-up ever. Guys, do you guys ever stretch your leg out? No.
Yeah.
Fair
no? Right, anyway. What do you do for a living? You're a physiotherapist. Right, okay.
What are the chances? How good am I at this?
That's what I call manifestation. I put it out into the world and there it is. Put it out into those are the ones that like do my head in.
Manifestation
the,
people?
The people who go, I'm just going to put it out into the universe and then they just sit there and eat like 5 bags of 1 kilogram things of Watsits. They're like going, yeah. I'm going to be the next Usain Bolt.
Like what manifesting really is
working.
Constantly resetting yourself every day and thinking about what you need to do to get to the thing.
Yeah.
It's not just going, it's all up there. I'm going to be a fucking superstar.
Exactly. I want to be the next Little Mix, all three of them, four of them. I don't know how many of them. But there's lots of people who just go like, you know, if you put it out into the universe, it will happen. They're like, yeah, if you think about it loads and you work really hard. And
I actually feel like sometimes I have done that and that's the worst thing to do. I have a terrible mental thing where I'll go, oh yeah, I want to do that. Or I say like, I'm going to do this. And I sort of think because I've said it, it's as good as done.
Yeah, but
you know, like one of them things you're like, yeah, I'm gonna lose 4 stone this summer.
Oh, I do.
Because I've said it, I'll celebrate with this 3 scoop here.
I was meant, yeah, that's what I mean, exactly the same as that. Like, anytime I try to lose weight or try and get fit, it's exactly the same. It's like going, God, you know what would be lovely tonight? A load of pints.
Yeah, the pints is killer.
Oh, I would love a load of pints.
Yeah,
can't do as much now though.
If I drink pints and dance. tell me that's not Zumba.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's the problem. It's not the pints. It's the wet and dry the next day.
Yeah,
the takeaways.
You're on that salty wet and dry, you know, sugar salt fucking roller coaster all day.
On that roller coaster. On that triple takeaway.
Yeah, you're on that wet dive.
what's your takeaway limit on a hangover?
How many am I allowed?
Like, how many is the most you've ever done? I've done like...
I think I've definitely like...
I'm pretty sure I've done 3.
Yeah, I've definitely like went for, you know, like a breakfast somewhere and then just died a bit more and then decided like, yeah, I'm going to need a fucking Chinese or something to get me out of this.
Is it too... What time is it? Like, is it too early to get a Chinese now on a went Thursday
12 o'clock
morning?
Now? Just
hip. I had my vaccine. Did you celebrate?
Yeah. Now you can really live life on the edge with Chinese food. Give me some bats and a half and half. You go to that Lee Garden place in Botanic. Just get all the fucking dense.
Listen, I don't know what any restaurants are good at the minute since I've been back. Like, I've been to like about 3 or 4 and that's about it. And the Belfast is my culinary oyster.
There's loads of places. There's great spots. Me and Niall went to Kamakura the other day before our gig. And he had this fucking, one of these cameras on the table. And in the most stereotypical fashion, the Asian guy that was working there was like, oh, that fucking camera, sweet camera, man, just lost his mind over this camera. I was like, get the noodles, bro.
I was doing
some
filming with that's a word they always take the piss out of you for over
filming,
over filming, over in England, and the guy, like, twice we were shooting once in down in Andytown and once outside Ulster Hall, and we were doing load of bits, and twice, like, within an hour, by come over and just sit there and stare, going, what should you pay for that?
I know.
Why should you pay for that camera?
Yeah.
And you could say anything. You could say anything from 50 quid to 50 grand.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, aye, I don't buy a good deed for cheaper. Aye,
scrap. Right, scrap.
Scrap. Not worth the lens that's on it.
Not worth
it. The lens is the most expensive part of it, I suppose.
And if you melted that down for the copper, what am I talking? I know. That was who were we talking to? It's like everyone's die. Every car that's not their own is scrap.
Yeah.
Drive that Mercedes into the ocean. Fuck that. Yourself a Mazda.
Yourself a twin cam, you'll see him about anymore.
There's one downstairs. Hectic. We will let's segue onto some questions. Now this is where any serious chat might go out the window. This is why these need vetted, but it's never fun to do that. First question is Tesco meal deal? ?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
You get the sushi. You know when you put the sushi in the Tesco meal deal, and it's literally just rice and one bit of cucumber, and you're like going,
and that's dry with one bit of color.
That's not enough wet. There's not enough or none of color. Color's another one. That's the third group.
Yeah, they're just, yeah.
Don't forget your color, which is your vegetables, isn't it?
Yeah, it gives a color wet dry. And, but yeah, totally.
But sushi's moist. It gives a wee bit of moist and color there.
Yeah, some of them are severely lacking in color in the middle.
No to the Tesco meal deal.
Nah.
Don't hate myself that much. I've had enough of them over the time.
I remember being caught.
I ate them all the time. Just the sandwiches are rotten.
Yeah, yeah. When I worked in Curry's, I would dip into Tesco's and get the fucking thing. And did you ever get caught off guard by something? They had one of these like triple sandwiches.
Mm.
There's like three in the pack, triple pack. The trio. One of them was like roast beef and horseradish, but they'd obviously been some sort of malfunction.
Pepping mango and custard or whatever?
No, just like in the dispersion of the sauce. Is that a word? Distribution. Yeah. So I just took the largest just load in my mouth of horseradish and nearly just fucking died in the staff room. It was like the fucking hottest thing. Have you ever had horseradish?
Yeah.
It's like fucking wasabi. And I was just like... But obviously, like, you know, I was only young. I didn't even know what the fuck horseradish was. I was just like... Or what would have been in this?
A good lawsuit.
I thought it was too much horseradishness. Yeah. Fucking choking to death, crying all over the place. Fuck that.
Going over to Denmark, local man in paper pointing at the amount of horseradish.
Yeah.
Look at that. Taking Tesco down.
Putting a 50p beside it to be like, look how much is in that.
But see, that's what local papers do, is like whatever the thing is, you're just pointing at it. It's like, this is man vomits, it'd be like, you pointing at it. And there'd be like a politician, there'd be like an MLA going... Maybe pointing it as well, going, nah, he's right enough. That is right enough.
I had a photo shoot one time, and it would, you know, I don't know what it was for. Oh.
Is that the...
I don't know what that is.
Somebody says, that would be a good prank for somebody to play on you, is like hide a Casio watch somewhere in your studio so you can't figure out where it is.
I mean, there's about 20 of them around the corner, but weird flex. What the fuck was I going to say?
Photo shoot.
Yeah, I was doing a photo shoot and I turned up absolutely dying. And you know when you're sort of a bit, you can be manipulated when you're just like, what, just get me fucking through this shit.
Mm.
And they were like, oh, we've got this like clown, you know, like a sort of rainbow clown wig and this thing and all, because you're like a joker, you know, you're like a clown guy. Oh, and I was just like, this is on like, you know, where the Duke of York is. And I was like, all right then. And I fucking put this nose on, and I was just like, I have this cutting out of the paper. I have it at home. And I was just like, whatever gets me through this, fucking fully poisoned. Like, just my head poking out the corner. Like,
at least you had a bit of makeup on or something.
No.
No?
Just
the nose?
Just the nose and the hair. And I'm like, fucking, what's the crack, lads?
Hey, it's a funny guy.
People walking past, no, there's your man. I'm like, that's a crack.
Yeah, my first picture in the Ulster Herald was me with headphones on because I'd got a job as a DJ.
In the middle of a park.
I know. Like, what happens if you're like a famous brain scientist? You like have like a brain from a cadaver out going, look.
Yeah, no scalpel.
It's just scalpel to your own head. Look. Famous brain surgeon.
Hello. Oh, fuck me. They're the worst. And, you know, they'll always send the guy who...
is not interested.
No, he takes photos, but like he started in like 1989 and the gear didn't improve because he's like, I can't work that. I've had a few of those where the guy's like, you know, trying to figure out a digital camera and I'm like, nah, it's for the Herald here or whatever. And you're like, and you're the guy? You're the fucking guy they send out. Hey, hold on. Oh, it's back in front.
You're like, can we just do a load of selfies and just get out of this? My camera's, my phone's probably better than his.
Exactly. You're like, do you have an email? No.
I wouldn't be using one of those. It's just sending me PO box.
Trisha, mate, and the officer. How long do I ring her? Have you a payphone? Just, fuck me. Here's one, Cormac Meenahan. At what age is it okay to start listening to Radio 4? Because Radio 1 melts your head.
I haven't listened to it since I left.
Out of spite or just...
I wasn't... Yeah, well, no.
Do they really have like 3 tracks? That's what it seems like.
I listen to...
Here's our rotation for the day. 3 tracks.
Yeah, well, my show's at nighttime. Like I had autonomy to play whatever I wanted, but I kind of listen to... Nice. I listen to 6 Music. I listen to 5 Live. I listen to Radio Ulster. And I listen to podcasts. That's about it. Radio 4, I mean, what are you can listen to Radio 4 at any time. Like, if you're the sort of more middle class you are, the younger you can listen to it, I think.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to sort of graduate to Radio 4.
Yeah.
Like, if you've grown up in a household where Radio 4's been on, then it's fine.
What do they do? Is it more chat? Is it more?
It's like documentaries. You'll like a lot of the comedy, a lot of good comedy stuff would start there, like Mighty Boosh and things like that too. But a lot of it would be.
But there's no like 4 lads in a white van listening to like a radio play.
Today's thought of the day. Yeah. I think it was Confucius that said.
Fuck up and try to listen to hell on.
Immanuel Kant.
More like Immanuel Kant, am I right? Yeah, I dropped my nuggets. and that is classist and racist.
I think you can listen to Radio 4 at any point.
There you go.
Stars in Their Eyes was really a weird concept for a show. Like, how was it so big? Like, really, like, think about it. Like,
it's karaoke.
Where people just are dressed like really bad. Imagine Rod Stewart sitting at home with like his 12 children or whatever in a Celtic shirt, watching himself because he's a big Celtic fan,
looking like a scarecrow.
What was the South Park? Well, poop pants.
poop pants.
Imagine like him sitting at home watching it on a Saturday because this is back in the days where it only was about 4 channels anyway.
Oh, yeah,
and he's like going, I don't look like that.
Yeah,
I don't look like that.
It would be offensive, you know. It's to a certain point, you know, you'd be like, someone would just be like, who the fuck is this fucking weirdo?
I don't know, man.
But there was the one dude who did Freddie Mercury who like had a full career off the back of it.
There was a guy from OMA that was like one of the world's most famous Elvis impersonators, a guy called, I can't remember his first name, it was like some Mr. Chisholm. And he was super famous like in Ireland as being an Elvis impersonator.
Strange business, isn't it? The old
Who would you do?
Me? Fred Durst, probably.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Chocolate Starfish. It's your man, Fred Durst. If I say fox 46 times, it's 46 fox in this fucked up rhyme.
Shout out to Ben Stiller.
Yeah. I'd be your Wes Borland.
Yeah. Well, anyone could be your Wes Borland.
Yeah, to be fair.
Paint the face up and fucking...
I don't know who I'd do. The only lookalike I ever get is Kenneth from 30 Rock.
Okay.
Which is a fairly niche one.
Okay.
A friend of mine just walks past me all the time. He's like, hello, Liz Lemon. Like, shut up. It's not fair.
Shut up, man. No one else gets it. Let me see what else we got. Do you think radio stations will be a thing of the past? A streaming platform seem to be taking over for listening, finding new music.
Serious question.
Also, can you help resurrect Tim Westwood's career?
Tim Westwood's still doing it, man. Like he's on Capital Extra and he's
still daggering fucking 19-year-olds.
It always just blows my mind that like he's older than my mum. He left the same week that I started. Now, am I saying that I'm the new Tim Westwood? I think I may have missed the boat by that stage. But I did once tell Stylo G I was the new David Radigan, and he gave me a dub plate. And it was like, big up Phil Taggart, the bad man from London.
Is a dub plate just like it plays like 30 times and explodes? Or did I make
No, that's the traditional sort of dub plate. Like, but like a dub plate would be like a personalized thing that's like, so like I have a Stylo G dub plate. I have a big nasty dub plate. Mr. Phil, what was it? It was gas pipe. Mr. Phil burst the pipe. Mr. Taggart burst the pipe. Phil Taggart burst the pipe. Gas pipe explode. It was when I was going through my very, very big and significant grime phase where I had a lot of...
Hello, Big Narsty.
What about you? Big Narsty has met all of my family at 3-4 different occasions.
Class.
Yes. We had the Narstys over there the other night.
His mommy, Tina Narsty.
Exactly. He finished all his wet. And
took a box of wet home.
Exactly. I did like a... I've done a lot of stuff with Narsty in the past. And like he's like...
roll off the tongue.
A lot of Narsty business. But there was one show for Channel 4 I was doing called Best Before. And he's meant to be on with me. And we're playing songs off Dax. But he got so stoned during the filming. He kept eating a massive bag of Watsits. And he kept getting like orange Watsit dust onto the decks. It was pranging me out because I was just like going, fader is so greasy now.
Oh, that's a nightmare. That would freak me out too. See, when you said Watsits and I thought about...
touching anything.
No one really eats Watsits. You just kind of hold them in your mouth until they eventually fade away. Exactly. But like, just that feeling of like...
God's waiting room for Christmas.
They're just stuck to your whole fucking teeth. Oh, and then the fucking hands. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, shout out to Narsty. The picture of my mom and Big Narsty is one of my favorite photos of all time.
Like, you must have a lot of shit like that. A lot of weird.
It's a lot of, yeah. Like, I remember I got my dad to do an interview with Labyrinth and they started flirting with each other and I was like, this is really fucked up.
Yeah.
But that was back in the day when you were like starting out somewhere and you think that like, having a parent or grandparent on makes things funnier.
Yeah.
Kind of does, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, just forcing them together with fucking...
Stooshy.
Here's my auntie with Run the Jewels.
Exactly.
Hey.
They're sound lads. Like, LP is one of the nicest in Killer Mike. They're just...
Class.
There's a really awkward photo where they're doing the Run the Jewels hand things, but I'm standing in the middle. So I don't know really what hand thing to do. So I do the fist as well.
You do paper.
So it just looks like it really, really just does look like I've won a competition. And I'm just, you know, like, have you ever seen the video of like the kids in the playground are doing all these cool dabs, and then there's like the little kid at the back who comes on and does this like really, really crap dab. Like, I was like, my ex says like basically that is me.
I'm just the middle
crap,
going like
crap dab
west side like that.
Yeah,
west side,
east side.
I was getting new glasses the other week, and I got sunglasses too.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them on, and they were like, "There is a couple of color options," and I went blue because I've seen LP wearing blue ones.
Mm.
And that, you know, that
he's very cool.
I tried to explain that to the woman who was about 65. She didn't give a fuck.
Can you cut my hair like LP, please? Here's a picture I took out of a magazine.
Yeah.
Took it out of like...
There's a sort of chubby white dude that's good at rapping and he's my hero.
Do you ever watch Hot 97?
Huh?
She's like, what are you on about there, love? No, you don't? No, never mind.
I'll show you. Oh, fuck. Do you think radio stations... No, I think...
I don't think so. I think that people like...
You'll just get...
I think youth radio will change a lot, like, in the next 10 years. Like, I think it will morph more than any of the rest of them do. But I think that people do enjoy listening to a voice in between music or listening to, you know, like, you're not going to get speech radio on digital service providers, but people still want to hear curated stuff talked about.
Yeah, they do. For sure.
Whether... 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds do, I don't know. That's why I think it's going to change a lot.
I think you're always going to have, if you were one, you know, like a sort of, I was one too, like a nerdy kind of, you know, you want to find out the new fucking shit.
Yeah, I don't think that like...
I remember buying fucking like NME and all, asshole trying to figure out what was cool.
The way we would have grown up listening to like Zane Lowe and stuff like that, I think that is probably over, but I think that there's a lot to be said for what they're doing now in new music. Like, there's, it's just a different ball game.
I mean, there are like podcast, you know, like No Jumper or something, when he's talking to like SoundCloud rappers, you know, like these unsigned sort of hot rappers and stuff. There's loads of stuff like that.
Literally 18-month careers, all of them. Like, do you know what I mean? You see like Lil Xans and stuff come up, and they're like the hugest big artists in the world, and then they're like, where are they now? And then like, they're 23, and you're like, wow. How can you be washed up at 23?
No, because it's like, none of it, it's very like, you know, it has no shelf life at all. It's just, there's, you know, you see all the trends come along, and like, even the Lil thing, everyone's fucking...
No Lils anymore, is there?
Lil something. There's a few of them, like, but it's just like a little hot sample of a song that's on a TikTok for fucking 10 minutes, and then...
There you go.
That's gone.
I know. I don't like. Yeah, I feel too old for TikTok.
Probably are.
That's why I don't go near it.
Yeah,
I don't understand it. It's the same as Snapchat, though.
I mean, I'll open it the odd time, and it'll say like, "Oh, you've got fucking 400 new followers or something." And I'm like, "What? I don't even do anything." I've put some stuff on there that I had already made, like, but it's a strange fucking world. Because there doesn't need to be a reason for any of it.
I just can't be arsed with it.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Fuck it. Sorry, not a question. All right, bro. Not a question.
Not a question. Could you give me back my straighteners, please?
Just really fucking weird.
Could you?
What was it you said was nice off the menu in fucking wherever? Like, I do get shit like that. I should be sponsored by a lot of fucking.
Potatoes have us in General Merchants. They're particularly quite nice.
A lot of the chat is about General Merchants, which is weird when you turn up there, like in. Like our merch, the fucking general stuff at General Merchants, and you're like, this is overkill. But
we do a bit of a collab. They might name a sandwich after you.
They should do, if I don't get a signature sandwich, I might fucking boycott them. What would be your go-to summer tunes? Oh, wow. One of mine has to be American Boy by Estelle.
Oh, well, it would have to be the one and only summer anthem, Daft Punk, Get Lucky, Sound of the Summer.
I've never heard that.
it's really good. It's like these two guys that wear helmets, and they're French and stuff, and they just really like music and disco.
They don't speak, but you can tell.
Yeah, exactly. They're not friends anymore, so they've taken their helmets off and gone other ways.
We had an episode of this podcast where Niall took me on a sort of history of where they stole all their music from.
Oh, it's great.
Like, and oh my God, I felt like
old Chaka Khan tracks and stuff. They're just brilliant. They're really good. Like, they are digging out crates and digging out records and samples. Like, they're kind of like Tribe Called Quest and stuff like that. They're just brilliant at it.
Even the, who else was their Prodigy?
Giorgio Moroder.
You okay there?
Sorry. Just had a departure.
I mean, some of it is super clever. Like the Prodigy one, where it was like one fucking little riff from a thing, and they pulled it away out, like, and then it just sounded like intro to, like, you know, it's crazy. Like,
I can't listen to Voodoo People anymore. It was my alarm at university, and I shit myself every time I hear it now.
Yeah, I had. I'll see if I can get it here.
Back in the days where you could set songs,
exactly, it was great. But like,
I mean, it kind of ruined it. Like now my alarm's like Forest Breeze or something that sounds like. Fabric softener.
This was mine, which would give you the shits.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That guitar is to kill by Asi.
What is it? Search Party Animals called. But the fucking phone would nearly like hop off the thing when it came on. Like, and literally, like, sometimes it'll just come on the shuffle. I was like,
there's nothing like a
PTSD.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm seeing them at the weekend. I'm excited.
I know. You see, again, that Stendhal thing, I just. You know, you'd seen it come up and like, we're excited. And then I'm like, oh, that's literally like fucking, you're going now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Who you going with?
I was asked to take some pictures.
Oh, well, there you go.
Just take the pass. Don't take any pictures.
What about...
It's 100 miles away from my house.
100? Oh, yeah.
100 miles.
You see, when I moved home, I was like, sure, he just moved from Belfast. But then like here to Newcastle is what? It's as far as, yeah, it's as far as I drive in the morning.
You have to drive an hour up here to do this every time? Right.
I just come from the other direction. We should just meet. So, where's in, is there like Lisburn? Where do you want to go? It's pretty far too.
You get far cheaper down there, boys, down around that then, but
I don't know. I don't know. Not with a contact. That's 100 miles away, yeah. Do you need an assistant to maybe carry a...
I'm not doing anything at it. I'll stick you in the... Just don't go home now until Stendhal. It'll cut like a good 30 miles off your journey.
That's true. Yeah, you gotta stay places now. Like, because then you'll get there and everyone's gonna be hammered and you're like, well, I'm not gonna be here and fucking...
I'm landing down sober on the Saturday morning. I'm not doing the Friday. Land down Saturday morning and I'm gonna camp for the first time. I normally get hotels and stuff and I'm going to festivals. I've done me years and years camping.
What's worse, a tent in Limavady or a hotel in Limavady? I'm only joking.
Shout out to the Limavady hospitality trade.
Yeah.
Sponsoring this podcast today.
Surely Colin can be a soul food selector on Chilled Beats at some stage.
Yeah, totally. We actually talked about that, getting you on to pick some tunes.
Well, this is what happens when you're talking about social media managers and management and stuff. Mm. You know, you send a couple of emails to each other and then
just forget about it.
Like that. 6 months later, you fucking remember that you said it.
Yeah.
I love the variety of these questions.
Thing is, because I'm on the Patreon, I can actually go and see these questions.
I know. Which country have you been to that has the best looking women?
That's like the sort of question that your like 12-year-old like nephew would ask you.
Where's the best country for
hot women?
Latvia was top dog for me.
Glad to hear it, David. You pervert. I don't know. I don't tend to objectify women in that way.
The
digital ladies on this. Yeah. No, second rate digital ladies. I don't know.
Listen,
I have no good answer for that.
Yes, I'll take this one. There are people that would get rid everywhere. There we are. Diplomatic. Yeah,
that's very diplomatic. Like, there's a bit of something for everybody everywhere.
Yes.
There's more to Ireland than this.
Yeah. Have some respect. There are sexy bitches everywhere. Cut that out. Was this the last question? Phil, how do you find working with the Radio 1 DJs? How did you find it? Some people seem to have real musical passion and some seem to use it when their TV careers have stalled. Oh, this is deep shit.
You can tell the difference between somebody who's come up through radio and somebody who's come through TV.
You think so?
You can just tell, yeah, because they're different. I mean, obviously they're different mediums, but like this, it's hard. Like, you know, you've done TV, right? Like, if you've started in TV,
very little.
You are used to a big team of people, and you'll have, like, you know, loads of different producers and editors and ADs and cameramen and all these people. And there'll be runners who'll be, like, running about getting you stuff, and you'll get makeup. I mean, you're kind of mollycoddled from the very start to make sure that you're in the best place possible for when the other goes live or you're shooting. And radio, it's literally, like, there's a microphone, there's a producer, do your job.
Yeah.
And I way prefer that because it's live. That's how it works, and you get it out, you say it, and it's done. Whereas like TV people sometimes, like, they have a good personality maybe, but they find it quite difficult to maybe move from an auto cue and be themselves. So it takes them a lot longer to be themselves on radio. Whereas like people who come up through community radio or various different radio stations have developed that over years, so they're generally quite better at it. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're just... It's just who's taking it seriously. Yeah,
I wish there was like a better answer to go like, oh, do you know who's a dick? Well, but there's not, like, they I think in the 90s and 2000s there was a lot of really big personalities there, and the generation coming up now everybody's very sound and everybody knows what they need to do to get to the next bit, but they're all pretty friendly. Mm-hmm. There's no real sort of bitter enemies in there. I'm sure, like, you know, before my time there, I heard loads of stories about like absolute jerk-offs, like that would have
jerk-offs.
I haven't said the word jerk-off in years. I don't know why I said it there now, but yeah, we've heard loads of stories. But everybody that I was there, yeah, fine, dead on, like,
yeah,
everybody stays out of each other's way as well. Not in the stay out of my way, but you're coming in to do your show and then you're going home.
Yeah, it's like shift work. You're just like, well, see
you later. Yeah, what about you? How's your, yeah, aye. No, aye.
Is that essential that, you know, like sometimes you'll get the little sort of overlap of people? Oh, such and such is in, he's coming on at 4:00, and they're like, hi, how are you? I'm good.
You pop into the studio and you say hello for a minute and... Yeah, and just everybody, it's just niceties. It seems like any other job, really. I wish there was like
some dirt,
rancid dirt to spill on.
I suppose they're like related to comedy. You can tell people who
it's fairly dull
just want to do comedy and they're like real students of comedy. And then you can tell the people who are like a bit arty and a bit drama school, a bit theatery, who think it's like another creative outlet. I'll try this too. And it's like, you're like, I don't know what's missing there. Bit of fucking venom or something. They're like, this is just me talking and performing.
Yeah,
you know, it's
there's a bit of bitterness that you need.
Yeah, you need a bit of fucking. You don't want to be there. You've ended up there. Is how you should be doing comedy. You know, like,
yeah,
this is what's left.
You're just like going, I played in a band, and that's why I ended up on the radio.
Yeah, and you're from TV, so you can fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, flipping. You didn't get recommissioned.
Yeah,
get and yourself over to the radio,
and you're here to take my fucking job. How dare you? I settled for this first.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh fuck. That's it. That's all our questions
done.
We'll wrap it up, man, because we've done an hour and a half.
Wow,
and that's loads. We had a lovely chat today. Enjoyed that a lot. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
What? Final list of where people can get your stuff, listen to your things.
Just go and follow me on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. It'll all be up there at Philly Taggart.
At Philly Taggart, Chill Debates. What's the name of the Sirius show?
Just Sirius XM and Phil Taggart. But unless you're going to subscribe it and be in North America, there's no point. Like,
is there not one of those weird, like?
I think you can subscribe to it. Like, I mean, you can if you do have. Some people do have Sirius, and if you do have it, get locked.
I was wondering if there was one of those, like, you know, say you watch like sport, like the UFC or something, big sort of maybe like subscription thing or pay per view, but then they're like, because it's on a bit of a weird time for you, we just give it to you on BT Sport. Is that like serious? Where it's like, you're not getting it, you know, listed live over here, but you know, we can sneak it out the back door.
Sneak it out the back door, yeah, exactly. I'll find a way of like channeling it through onto some sort of like live Mixcloud stream or something.
In the middle of this podcast, we'll just start a 3-hour show. I don't know where.
I've got to go and record my show for today. God knows what I'm going to talk about, but we'll see. We'll find out.
Wet.
I'm just going to chat about. I really did not expect to be chatting about wet and dry. It was a concept that I came up with maybe when I was about 15.
Yeah, it's one of those things you've let out now. And you're like, I thought that was normal.
Phil from the radio is a weirdo.
Yeah.
It's a real strange
That's
dude.
Chips and wet is what I'm going to call it. Anyway, we'll call it a day. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Cheers.
Gluck.
Gluck and fuck you.